Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully everyone is doing good and great. Great is better than good, right? Yeah. Well, I'm doing great. I may not look great, but I'm doing great. I'm sure glad I feel better than I look. But anyway, had a little work done on my nose. My wife said, sit down. I thought she said, stand up. So anyway, no. I had a meeting with the dermatologist. And it didn't turn out that well. At first, anyway. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. And even in our lives, even our little lives. There's so much that is happening. And, you know, we really need to just thank God for who he is and that he cares. You know, I'm so glad that God has given us love. You know, what would we do without love? Have you ever thought of that? Do you ever notice how important really love is? You know, there was a survey taken. I was looking on Fox News, and there was a survey of people who thought we were going in the right direction and that they liked the change that was taking place. You know, Trump sending the army and everyone else into D.C. to bring law and order. And what a great job. The people that are living in that just loved it. But you know, the survey said that 76% of the Republic, I don't like going into that, but you know, I don't like to take too much part in that. I think the word's more important, but yet it still shows. But 76% of the Republicans were thrilled with what was going on, very satisfied. But with the liberal, it was zero. And so there's a 3.3 chances or figure that this census is wrong. So they would have been in the zero column, 3.3% or whatever that percentage is. And I just can't imagine that people would be upset with law and order. And they're just not happy. The liberals just aren't happy. See, it's because there's no love. They're miserable because there's anger, there's hurt, there's frustration. They want it their way, and so they're offended at everything. So anybody that gets that state and that feeling in their heart, let me tell you, they can't love. They can't, so they're not happy. Well, I'd rather have that love and be happy with my life. It's not perfect. I mean, I don't have everything, and there's hardships that we go through and different pains of living, but yet I'm happy. Because when God got a hold of me, my life, he changed me. He took all the hurt and that bitterness and that anger and that resentment and all of these things he took. I gave it all to him. And what he did is he replaced it with his love. You know, it says that God so loved us that he gave his son to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins, for all of my faults. And he said he did it while I was still a sinner, which is very true. But see, now I have that love. Before, I didn't have the capacity to love. You know, you did good things to me and I was happy with your performance. I liked you. until you failed me. Then I didn't like you anymore. I may not hate you, but I didn't care much for you. But see, love is different. Love is really tolerable for the faults of others. Love is special, folks. Sometimes we don't realize what we miss by not having the love of God. Lord says that we can love others because he first loved us. So God did it first, setting us free, letting us learn to just acknowledge that somebody actually cares for us. As messed up as we are, somebody cares. Somebody really loves. And so I'm just so thankful for the Lord and what he has done. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to start with verse 7. Talking about serving. Serving for God's glory. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter's saying, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things," he says, "have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins." Verse 9, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I ask that you would just instill in our hearts a true understanding of what love is and how important that it is to all of us and for us. Lord, that we have so much of it, Lord, that we'd be able to share. That we'd be able to love the unloving as a father does. That we would care for people who may not like us or even hate us. But yet, Lord, we could love as you loved. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, above all things, have a fervent love for one another. In fact, if you would look at Revelation chapter 2 in verse 4, I want to talk about a little bit as we look at love, what Jesus said about a church. I think it was a kind of a perfect little church. But the heading over chapter 2 of Revelation says, it talks about a loveless church and the problems that were there. He said, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." That's the seven churches. He says, "I know your works of labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Now, folks, I want to say this is a really good church. Amen. Doesn't it sound good? The Lord's naming off all the good things that they're doing. You know, they don't put up with a lot of things. They're going to follow the Lord. And doing all of that, it says that they're not growing weary in it. They're determined to walk on. Perfect things that they're doing, and the Lord is commending them for this. But then in verse 4, he says this. He says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. Wow. He says that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you will have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He says, I also have. Who has an ear? Now he's talking to the people. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Folks, I want you to notice that there's so much good in this church. Man, it's like they're doing everything right. But then Jesus says, hey, I got a problem with you. And it's a problem that I can't tolerate. It's a problem that you really need to look at. And you need to overcome this. He says, you've lost your first love. You know, it's kind of like, maybe it's kind of like a relationship or even a marriage. You know, you first meet and it's like, wow, you know, kind of love at first, and then it grows more. And then you get to where you really can't be apart that much, you know, and you're always thinking of them, and then you're always looking for an opportunity to where you can get together again, spend more time, because you just enjoy each other. And so that grows and it builds and it gets better and better. Then it seems like you get married. And a few months into the marriage, you're still doing okay, but it's not the same, doesn't seem to be the same kind of love. Know what I mean? And so that's how sometimes we as God's people, I think, tend to get, due to the situations and different things that go on in our lives. And, you know, there's always all kinds of problems and situations going on. And so it takes our minds off of it, and then it takes our hearts, even sometimes if we don't guard it, away from it. And it's not that we don't love our wives or our husbands, but it's like we're kind of distracted. I've got this to tend to and this. And so then that's how our lives sometimes go. You know, we get along, but it's not the same as the first love. And that's how it is with God and us and our relationships with Him. Sometimes we get tied up in church by the rules. Usually there's a lot of rules. You know, I got saved in a Baptist church, and I thought, man alive, I have no more freedom. I can't dance. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, you got to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Of course, I loved all of that. That was all new to me. Man, it was first love. You can't ask too much of me. You know what I mean? Wednesday night service we went to. And it was all good. But it took a lot of the other freedoms that we seem to have. And as the years went by, it kind of wears on you. And there's things that happen that you tend to lose that first love. Now it becomes mechanical. Well, it's Sunday. Got to go to church. well, this has happened at church. I guess we better go. Or we may even really want to go. But we come and we don't really carry that presence of the Lord. You know, I love, you don't always feel the anointing of the Lord and His grace and His love. You always don't feel that. But a lot of times you do. And I love that, to sense the love of God. But yet I know what the Word says. The Lord says He'll never leave us nor yet forsake us. So I'm not worried about Him just because I can't feel Him or see the results of Him being in my life. Doesn't mean that He doesn't love me anymore. You see, because I can trust the Lord. And I always try to work on that love relationship with the Lord. And so when I have my quiet time, I can join in with Him and I can just sense His love and His peace. And I listen to Him. I often ask, Lord, am I pleasing You? See, because that's my heart and that's how my love goes for the Lord is, Lord, I want to please You. It's like for my wife. I want to please her. I don't like to hear all the time where I fail. Well, you should have done this and you should have done that. And, you know, I don't like nagging. I kind of like to be coaxed into something. It's like, wow, this is a good place. You're not blaming me for something. You're not finding fault with me. But yet you're enjoying me be here. And I already know I'm not perfect. But see, that's how we need to be with the Lord and with the church. The people that is of the church. Building is not the church. It's the people. And it's important. So we've got to learn to love one another as well as loving the Lord. So love is important. We've got to really watch out for us. So in Revelations 2:4, it addresses the Ephesians or the Ephesus church where Jesus states, I have one thing against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. So this passage highlights the danger of losing one's initial fervor and love for Christ, which can lead to a mere outward expression of faith without a heartfelt commitment. You know, I had a friend of mine who I met in a church at one time. And at that time, I think he was in his mid to late 20s. First name was Gary. And when he came, he was in prison, got in trouble, was in prison for I don't know how many years. He got out. And, of course, met him in church and talked with him, and he walked with the Lord, and because he was really involved in prison, you know, because that was really a structured thing. You sign up for something, and then you go to it. And they provide a lot of things. So in prison, he could walk with the Lord. But soon after he was out, he began to wander and do things that he shouldn't. He didn't have the stick-to-it-ness. See, he felt the obligation, but he didn't have the Lord, the love that he needed to. And so after maybe a couple of years, I'm not sure on the years, but anyway, it was just a little time. he got bored and he lived in Mackinac City and had snowed that night, or it had snowed. So there was a couple of inches of snow on the ground. Well, he decided just across the yard, basically, was a business. And he decided at like 1 o'clock in the morning or so to go break in. No reason for it, just something to do. So in the fresh snow, he made tracks from his house to the business. Went in and broke in, and I don't know what he took or even if he took anything. And then he walked right back to the house through an inch or two of snow, fresh. So the alarm went off, police came. They just followed his tracks right to his house and arrested him. You know how foolish we are at times when we really don't walk with God and we're not committed to him. Some of the dumb things that we do. Well, then he went back to prison. I don't know if there was another time in between that. Yes. Yeah, it was, I think, because he wanted me to buy a four-wheeler from him after he was out, but he was getting ready to go back into prison. And I'm like, I don't want your four-wheeler. But we were friends. Well, he just got out of prison again, maybe a year ago. And he was like on Facebook, and it was like almost a love affair. He had this gal that, from him, what he says, he was just madly in love. She's the most beautiful thing. They went to Mackinac a few times. They lived downstate. And now I don't see anything in Facebook. He hasn't posted anything about her. So evidently she seen that this guy is not really capable of love. And so he tried to contact me, and I'm thinking, Lord, do I really want to get involved here? And so I let it go for a while. Well, then he posts on Facebook a picture with him doing a one-finger salute. And the caption was, well, F you. Now, this guy professed to be a Christian. And in prison, he had the effects. He looked just like a Christian. But a lot of these guys use that so they can get early parole. It's a deception tactic. So I don't know where he stands, but folks, I want to tell you, there's a problem with his love and his commitment to the Lord. And I wished I could help him. And maybe someday I'll be able to. But folks, there's people like that that you can't help because they don't know how to love. And I can't blame all of that on Gary because he's had a rough childhood. But he's in a bad spot. You know, there's a lot of people in church that are that way. They go to church, they can put on a front, a face, and everybody thinks all is well. Sometimes you go to one of these bigger churches or something, sit in a parking lot on a Sunday morning when people are coming into church, throw your windows down. Boy, sometimes there's not quite a drag-out, knock-out fight going on. But then they get out and they just change. Now they're the perfect family. And they walk into church and they have that face, that front, all is well. But you know, the sad part about it is this, is that a lot of people know what's going on. and they don't befriend these this family so that they can maybe speak into their lives and try to help them. You see, if you love them, you tell them the truth. Trying to help them and draw them out of that situation. We've been in that situation. But we kind of learned. We would have an argument or something like that, and I had to preach. Well, finally got to where it said, let's not deal with this now. Let's wait until after I get done preaching. Let me tell you, it's hard to preach after you had a fight. It really is. So that's what we did for a while. But then when we really, God really started getting a hold of us and changing us, we don't have the fights and the arguments. You know, a fight and an argument, you know what happens with that? You may win that battle, but you actually lose the war. Y'all know what I'm saying? We need to learn to just surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to love. Help me to love. You know, I look at this church and I see so much of the good that are in you guys. I'm thoroughly impressed. Thoroughly. You have so many good qualities. I never hear the bickering. I'm like, wow, you guys aren't Baptist, are you? But I don't hear that. I you know, unless you're hiding it from me, y'all go home and get on the phone and argue with everybody there. I don't know what you do. But I never hear it in church. Y'all get along great. Things, even when you don't agree, you just kind of go with the flow. And you can voice your thoughts about it, and you did your part, and now let's just see what God does with it. I think you guys are great in it. I really do. I'm thoroughly impressed. It's hard to ever get that kind of seed growing in a body. Because everybody's got their own opinion and their own way of doing things and their own thoughts about something. But one thing I kind of noticed that's maybe a little lacking, and it's lacking in most churches. And really, I can be totally wrong, but just kind of what I feel. And that's kind of the love. Maybe I expect something that's not supposed to be there. I don't know. But see, the Lord sent me here to really, to kind of teach you guys, not that I'm better in any way, it's just that the Lord is directing me and showing me some things and telling me some things. And so he's placed me here. First he says, love my people. And then he says, teach them to believe. And so that's been my task, and I try hard to do that. And one thing I try so hard to get across is that I'm not a hireling. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. A hireling is someone that you just pay to perform an obligation, like to preach every Sunday. And I'm not that guy. You didn't really hire me. God sent me here. And I've got a purpose. I've got a duty. And I'm serving the Lord by serving with you. But you know, even with that, sometimes it's because of maybe a denominational fulfillment where you've been associated, and it's kind of how they functioned and operate. Folks, do y'all know how hard it is to unlearn something? That's why I always try to teach the right thing the first time, because trying to unteach it is almost impossible. So I don't know what's going on, but I look and I see the work that God is doing, and I see God in all of you. But my wife and I, we tend to feel as outsiders. We feel loved. You guys show that. But we feel like we're kind of outsiders. You know what I mean? Do you ever feel that way before? Oh, you feel loved. But you kind of feel like you're just not part. You can go visit a church. It can be a great church, but you just don't feel the connection. And so that's kind of where we're at. And you guys don't even realize that. And it's okay. So I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just trying to love you and just kind of be honest that I think we all need to learn to work on our love. Right? Because I fail in it a lot too. So I'm not trying to drag you over to Coles and beat you. Know what I mean? I'm just trying to be honest. You're such good people, caring people. But it's hard for us to feel the connection. I don't know whether it's just because that we're kind of a hireling, you're thinking of us as that. But see, that's why we've worked so hard, is to show you we're not hirelings. In the leadership meeting, I had to volunteer myself to go, basically. I had to volunteer ourselves basically to come to prayer meeting. Hey, what about, what's going on? Can we come? See, we're trying to involve ourselves with you because we want you to feel loved and to know that God has sent us to do a work, to do a job, to try to help where we can. But see, it's not just here, it's in other churches too. So what I'm saying is, love is so important. So when new people come in, we need to make them feel genuinely loved. We care. And that's like the people in the church. Folks, we need to learn, and you guys do, I'm sure, to really love and care for each other. Somebody runs into a problem or has a hurt, we need to be there for them at whatever cost it might be. Man, you're family now. And we do pray very hard for people. And that's so good. But in growing, it's a little, you know, the feeling I get from a lot of people is, if we had a young preacher, we would grow. Well, that could be true. But I would think it would lean more on what God does. If God wants us to grow, we're going to grow. Right? And really, usually what's healthy will grow. So a younger pastor might work. In fact, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm in the fivefold ministry. I have things that I'm called to do. And so I'm not trying to advocate for anything. I love you guys. I'll be here until the Lord says it's time for you to get out of their way. You know what I mean? You've learned so much. You've progressed so fast. And the Lord says, okay, you're in the way. I'm going to bring somebody else in. And that's okay with us. It really is. But see, the thing is, we got to realize that God will grow this church. But let me ask you this. What if he doesn't? Can you still trust God? See, the thing is that I look at, it's all up to the Lord. Lord, what do you want? I'm your servant. You loved me and called me for a purpose. You saved me by giving me your son who died on Calvary's cross just for me. So, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. And I'm not in any way saying that this church is not going to grow. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying we need to look at what God wants. What's God's purpose? And then we need to go with that. Because he knows better. Folks, y'all know that he loves you. And he placed you in this little church, this little body. And he did that for a reason. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 5 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So love is important. And so I would just ask you, just think about this. Not everybody has love. Maybe even most people don't have love. Let's have the God kind of love where we can get to the point where we truly care. It's not just a duty. You know what I'm saying? You know, I wouldn't be too safe if I went home and said, oh, it's you again. You know what I mean? That I go home. I live at home because I like it there and I like the company. It's not a burden. And that's where we need to be in church. I hate to be at home preparing a message and said, oh, I got to preach again. Looks, what a horrible thought that would be. I've probably got 5 messages that I plan to preach today. But see, I wake up early in the morning and I get with the Lord and I say, God, which one do you want? Which one is for your people today? You see, because I want to be pleasing to the Lord because I love him. And I know that he loves me. And I love being here. So if the Lord ever says, hey, it's time to leave, I'm going to say, Lord, are you sure? Because I would miss you. But folks, I want to tell you, God loves us. He loves this church. And all I'm asking, I guess all the Holy Spirit asks us to do is let him love through us. That's all we got to do. So we need to work on that love and perfect it in the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for your word and for your people. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that your word will just kind of maybe open our understanding a little better. And Lord, that you could use it to teach us even more, to grow us even more and closer to you. That we could truly be your love to the people that need to hear from you and to be loved. So Lord, thank you. We love you and we know that you love us. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. So let me read our blessing over us. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor, give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.